Welcome to the Debate at GO8 podcast series exploring issues and research affecting the Group of Eight universities and by extension Australia's economy and our society. My name's Ron Cantlars. I'm a freelance journalist and producer, and throughout this series we've been canvassing a range of topics touching upon the work of all the Group of Eight universities. They include the Australian National University, Monash University, UNSW Sydney, the Universities of Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, Queensland and Western Australia. The GO8 comprises Australia's leading research intensive universities, and they're all playing important roles in the battle against COVID-19 here in Australia. In the Podbooth studio with me is Vicky Thompson, CEO of the Group of Eight Universities, and she's no doubt very proud of the role the GO8 is playing in the fight against the pandemic. Well, Vicky, earlier this year you wrote to the Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt, offering support for the vaccine rollout. Tell us about that.
I did, Ron, because there's actually a lot that we have been doing in the research space, but we're also doing a lot and can do a lot in terms of our students. And so our universities have played, as I said, a really important role in that research space. But we also educate a lot of people, and we educate doctors, nurses, paramedics, podiatrists, physiotherapists, nurses, etc. And all of those students are really a ready and willing workforce to help in terms of the vaccination rollout. And so the letter to the minister, of which he responded very positively, was to say, we can assist you in three areas. First of all, we can help you in terms of getting jabs in arms, and I'll come to why that's important right now. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we can provide vaccination hubs on our university campuses.
Yep.
So we have 400,000 students and 50,000 staff. So that's a huge chunk of the community that we can encourage to be vaccinated. And thirdly, and importantly, we can offer support in terms of the vaccination rollout in regional and rural and remote Australia. And that's where there are some significant challenges, but our universities have a huge footprint all over Australia with rural medical clinics and placements. So anywhere from, Broken Hill out to Coober Pedy, out to outback Western Australia, Kalgoorlie, etc. We can also assist in that area.
Which we're really seeing at the moment. We need that footprint, particularly into Western New South Wales, etc. So you're saying because of the footprint of the universities, that you have that capacity to assist in that way?
Absolutely. So we've got about 15,000 students that we've identified that are available and could be ready. It's voluntary, of course. We're not making our students do it. But here's the challenge for the federal government at the moment, and people be very aware of this. At the moment, there's a really strong push to get us vaccinated and as quickly as possible. We've got a very stressed out workforce in the health sector, and I know we'll come to that in a moment. At the moment, though, we've got an issue with supply of vaccines. The federal government is hoping through the work they're doing that by about October, that supply issue should be resolved and we'll be able to roll that vaccine out really quickly. Can't do that unless you've actually got people to jab arms and you need qualified people to do that. So here we have a capable and ready and willing workforce, to use a sort of that term, who are ready and willing and able to assist in that process. So
how many final year medical students does the GO8 have on its books that could assist with this sort of vaccination, and how many people from other faculties? What sort of workforce can you call upon?
So I think we've got about 3,500 medical students that we graduate each year. But the really important point here is that those medical students and nursing students, actually the state governments have already kind of soaked a lot of them up into their hospitals.
Yep.
So in a sense, they don't want to waste the great resource of a nurse or a final year medical student on just giving people vaccinations, as important as that is.
Yep.
They're actually in hospitals doing sort of frontline delivery. So it's the other students in around about 10 to 12 discipline areas that I mentioned, and that's ranges from pharmacy students, podiatry students, physiotherapy, nutrition and dietetics, who knew they can. Of course they would be trained. I mean, we're not just sending students out, and there's a huge process that sits around that. But I guess the point is, here we are as universities, we've been right in sort of, front and centre in terms of the research, the vaccination development, et cetera, and now we can actually assist with not just our students into the regions and the vaccinations, but also what we can do on campus.
So what impact do you think it'll have on the rollout? After all, you mentioned before many state health services are severely stretched by COVID. Do you think these students can play a vital role in assisting hard-pressed health workers across the country?
Absolutely. And, you know, there before COVID was an issue around the medical workforce. And in fact, that's probably another podcast because it's a really interesting discussion point around, you know, where we've got critical shortages, exacerbated, can I say, at the moment by our closed borders, because we rely a lot on international doctors. And so we're having to, in this way, we can kind of fill the gap, if you like. Interestingly, I was reading a document just recently about the toll on our health workforce, the mental toll, the rate of depression, and it's really high at the moment. And so Beyond Blue did a very large survey of doctors and medical students. And so if we can in any way assist in alleviating some of that kind of the practical work, if you like, of delivering vaccination at the same time as ensuring that we're getting as many people vaccinated as possible because, you know, we're being told that's our pathway out, I think that's a great role for our universities to play. So it's more than just jabbing people in the arm. Mm-hmm. It's providing some relief for our frontline workforce. It's also providing incredible experience for our students.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's a pandemic and it's the worst case situation we can think of, but what an incredible experience for those students who appropriately trained can go into the field and undertake this work.
And to see their role in a pandemic.
Absolutely.
It's phenomenal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What about things like mobile testing, that sort of thing? Could students be used for that as well?
Yeah. And in fact, another point I should make is that we, having written to the minister and sort of offered up our services and now spoken to the unit that's running this, it's also important to note that our students are already in the field. So we do have students who have been involved in contact tracing. Most of our students who are available to be utilised are working through the various state government health authorities. So I think from memory, Monash University had around 50 students that were working in hospitals.
Yep.
They had, I think, 300 students had put their hand up to say, we're available, should we be needed? So many of our students are already in the field. So what we're saying is we've got this additional group of students here who we could train up to do the vaccinations. And I think the training point is really important because the other thing we're doing, so the University of Sydney, for example, has developed a training module which is being used by New South Wales Health. And of course, as we record this, we know New South Wales is in, you know, a lot of strife. And that training module has been rolled out now for the vaccination workforce. And so what we've said to government is it possible for us to basically use that as a template that you could roll out to the other states and very quickly get our students up and ready and trained? Because we've got this window of opportunity now. Mm-hmm. So here we are sitting in, you know, sort of September. We're told by government that, and according to their plan, but, you know, by October, the supply issue should be well and truly resolved.
Yeah.
So we've got a window to train up our students, and work with our state governments. The Federation is alive and well, let me tell you, in dealing with this problem.
But has work, its issues, but there, yeah.
Does have its issues, and I think that's been kind of, you know, writ large throughout COVID. But work with our respective state governments. Mm. And so when supply is absolutely guaranteed, and, you know, General John Fruin's working on that side of it, we've got, you know, to use his military and army workforce, ready to go to do those vaccinations.
Yeah, I was going to say that this notion of the vaccination centres, you know, mass vaccination centres is interesting to me because, as you mentioned before, the universities have thousands of people on campus. So there's that capacity to get a lot of shots in arms very, very quickly. Talk to that a bit.
Yeah, so we're doing that in many, many ways. So if you think of a university like Monash University, it is co-located next to a major hospital precinct and there are GP clinics attached to several of our universities. I mean, think of Adelaide University is very close to the Royal Adelaide Hospital, similarly in UWA with their major hospital system. So there's a lot of co-location that goes on. So it's quite easy. And this is actually quite an interesting discussion we had with the industry liaison cell, which is the name of the group that General John Fruin is heading up. What they want to do is ensure that it's really easy for people to be vaccinated. You know, if they're on their lunch break, they can just walk past and have a vaccination.
Yep.
They don't want people to think, oh, it's going to take me 2 hours and I've got to drive somewhere. So how can we make this as easy and quick as possible if we can't go on to the workplace? So this is where these mobile clinics and mass vaccination centres in the right places are really important. At the university level, of course, we have the capacity to do that because of that co-location with the hospitals, because you obviously have to have professionals around. You can't just jab people in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And that is the challenge, of course, with the regional and remote areas, right? So part, I know the RFDS has been involved in actually getting vaccine out to our most remote communities throughout Australia, but there are a limited number of people who can actually administer those vaccines. So again, utilising our vast network of rural health clinics, which we have, as I said, all over Australia, even in the areas where we don't necessarily have a university, whether it be in the Northern Territory or in Tasmania, we are able to utilise those students who are out there working on placements for vaccines. So, you know, it's just part of us doing our bit.
Vicky Thompson, you must be proud as CEO of the Group of Eight Universities to be playing such a pivotal role. And I dare say you've got a bit of feedback from some of the students as well about how they feel about doing their bit.
Look, it's a great thing, you know, and that's why I love my job, because we can do such fantastic things and that has a real impact. And, you know, we talk about research and there's a, you know, people don't often see that, but this is a very practical way that they can see that we can make a difference. And for the students are putting their hands up and volunteering to do this because, as I said, the experience in a COVID pandemic, hopefully it's a once in a lifetime experience for most of us. I mean, yeah, you know, there's a lot of the negativity around it, but this is a real life experience of a crisis, and they're living it right here and right now. And they've put their hand up from the get-go. And also, it, you know, we want it to count to the work that they're doing as part of their placements. So it's giving them that experience, which will make them better, whether it be pharmacists, physiotherapists, whatever it is, to be involved in this program.
It is ironic, though, that our universities are playing such a crucial role, given that COVID-19's had such a dramatic impact on university student numbers and finances. The universities certainly understand the pressing need to get vaccination rates up so that life can return to normal across the country and on campus. So I suppose there's a sense of a vested interest in getting this happening as quickly as possible.
Well, I don't know if it's a vested interest. I mean, I understand your point about the irony, but I mean, universities are always there to be anchor institutions in their communities. And there are many examples where our staff and our students and our academics and our researchers are actually working in the, you know, and doing things in the community. That's what we do. Mm. And so it doesn't surprise me that our students and our universities have got their hands up to say, you know, we want to be involved and how can we help, because we've got that capacity. If you think about, as I said, for us, 400,000 students and 50,000 staff, that's a lot of people out in the community for
absolutely
us to be able to galvanise. And so it is a sense of pride, absolutely, but it's also sort of a bit of business as usual in many ways, because that's what universities do. We embed ourselves in the community. We are in the solutions business. How can we help? Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how this came about. It was just, okay, how can we actually help here? We know we're doing a lot of work in the research side, which is absolutely pivotal. We're doing a lot of work in terms of, you know, providing advice to government. But there was a roadblock, and there is a roadblock to getting a mass number of people vaccinated. And that roadblock has been supply of vaccine, but then the constraint will be the capacity to actually deliver the vaccine.
So the universities, in a sense, and the students become like a surge, you know, workforce in a
surge,
sense
exactly.
at a crucial time.
And what a great role that we can play in doing that. And so, and look, I think that the federal government certainly appreciates and understands the role that we can play, as do our state governments. Our respective state governments are leaning heavily on our universities at this point in time, particularly as we record this, Ron, in Victoria and New South Wales, where, you know, it's not looking all that positive at the moment, and let's hope for some sunshine on that sometime soon. But our universities are right there at the coalface in working day in, day out with, you know, in hospitals, delivering vaccines, contact tracing, et cetera. What I'm saying is we've got more capacity here.
Yeah.
So how do we train everybody up and get us ready to go in October so that by Christmas, you know, that's the goal, isn't it? Like we can, hopefully we're not in the
some
situation.
Some sense of normality. Let's move to the area of research. What else is the GO8 doing in relation to the pandemic? Tell us about some of the important research conducted by the GO8 at the start of the pandemic. I remember we spoke about this a while back then, developing this roadmap to recovery. What's been implemented from that research?
look, we've done so much and you know, for your reading pleasure, should you want to, here it is. And this was a really fantastic exercise that we did at the start of the pandemic, where we brought together, I think, nearly 200 researchers mm-hmm. from across the Group of Eight in fields as diverse as obviously epidemiology and, you know, vaccine development, all of those things, but mental health, Indigenous health, ethics, all of those sorts of areas. We brought them all together, economists, to provide what we would hope to have been a roadmap, at least for government to look at and you know, look at the various options. We made many recommendations. We didn't come down one side or the other on what we should or shouldn't do, but just said, here's our advice. And that was very well received by government. And it's always good, isn't it, to look back in hindsight at some of the recommendations and see exactly what's been adopted and see that they have. So if we look at things like Indigenous delivery, the you know, and I see the Prime Minister announced just very recently that, and Minister Hunt, that, you know, they were looking at how do we actually ensure that we get vaccines and, you know, health services out to our remote Indigenous communities. We made recommendations about that in this document. We made recommendations about border openings. That's been a little challenging because of the Federation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got, you know, live debate going on with Queensland and Western Australia, and that's where the Federation is working quite interestingly. If you think about the Doherty Institute, I mean, they are, you know, they've provided all of the modelling really upon which the government has had its advice and now rolling out for us in terms of that.
Well, it's been pivotal, hasn't it? I mean, when you look at any political debate, you know, in contemporary media about the roadmap out of this, the Doherty Institute from Melbourne University figures looms large. Mm.
And I'm glad you raised that it is Melbourne University, because I'm not sure that people realise that the Doherty Institute is a joint venture between the University of Melbourne and Royal Melbourne Hospital. Mm-hmm. And similarly, many of these major research institutes are part of the Group of Eight universities. They are, you know, really integral parts of our universities. The Doherty, as you mentioned, they've done a lot of the modelling based on a whole range of assumptions of which the government is now working to in terms of their plan. But they're also looking at a second generation vaccine, because we know that with COVID, you know, there are variants, and we're in the middle of a variant now with the Delta strain. We don't know whether that will change. There's new variants coming out quite regularly, so we have to adapt our vaccines. So not only have we been involved in the research in terms of how we manage economically, socially, you know, our mental health, all of those sorts of things, we're now looking at, okay, how coming out of this, and you mentioned new normal, which is, you know, a well-used term, but, you know, I think our normal is going to be
very different.
Very different, mm. Exactly. And our universities are really sort of at the centre of driving that research as we come out of it.
We're you know, pitching into the unknown, aren't we? You know, in terms of policy. So the Doherty Institute, with its evidence about vaccination rates and the levels that are required before, you know, changes are made in policy, has been fundamental.
It has. I think it is also important to note, though, that, and this is not to diminish the work that the Doherty's done, because it has been fundamental, but their modelling is just that, it's modelling, and mm-hmm. it's based on a set of assumptions, and it's a set of assumptions based on what we know now, to your point, about what don't we know. And so I guess my only sort of word of caution about all of that is things change, and that means the modelling may change, because mm. we are using a set of assumptions that we know now. And so I know that the modellers are working on that at, you know, many institutes, including the Doherty, trying to sort of forecast, okay, what if this happens? What if this scenario happens? And that's where we're at now. I mean, even when it comes to the capacity of our health system, and of course, this goes right back to the conversation we were having at the very beginning of this, the stress on our health system was evident before COVID. And now we're in COVID and we're in a real crisis situation in New South Wales, where the stresses of the health system are very apparent. And, you know, the AMA and others have come out and they're very concerned about the future of the health system in that state, given the likelihood of increased cases. So why the universities are so important and institutes like the Doherty is that they can sit back and they can look a little bit into the future, stick a whole lot of numbers in and scenarios and go, okay, and give that to government and say, okay, this is plan A, B, C and D. Mm. Take it from there. I mean, at the end of the day, the decisions will be made by government. But
when you look at the Doherty Institute, you look at the role that universities are playing in getting, you know, jabs into arms, testing, vaccination centres, you name it, never has the role of the GO8 universities come into sharper focus.
Absolutely. And I think this is a really good example of, to my point, why we are so integral and why we are part of, you know, our social and economic fabric. We're not something that sits separately from what is going on in day-to-day life. Day-to-day life is being influenced by the research and by the students that we educate every single day from our universities. And I think, and I know, that the federal government certainly does understand and appreciate that, as do the state governments.
I was going to ask, do you think the community is beginning to understand also, and the federal government, as you say, that, you know, there's a clearer picture of the vital role our universities play at a time of national crisis?
You know, that's a really tough one, because I think the community, there's a bit of COVID fatigue in the community, and, you know, the community is just looking for a pathway out. And, you know, as long as we can get that pathway out, I think they'll be happy. I guess what I'm saying to them is, you want a safe, secure, evidence-based pathway out, we will be able to provide that advice to government. So know that the advice that we provide and that the actions that government takes is based on that very sound foundation.
So finally, we've talked about the, you know, the bigger issues relating to COVID, but COVID on campus, what's the view of the GO8 when it comes to the notion of mandatory vaccination?
So we're not in the business of mandating vaccination. That's something that our universities won't do. But we are strongly encouraging our students and staff to be vaccinated, and we've got vaccination centres on campus and we'll continue to do that. Interestingly, though, in the US, they are mandating vaccinations on university campuses. And in fact, very recently, a university, I think it was Virginia Tech, unenrolled, 163 students because they weren't vaccinated. And I know that's a similar situation in the UK, where students had to be vaccinated before they can go back to their universities and back to residential colleges. So it's a very different situation here in Australia. We are making it, you know, we're leading the horse to the water. We'll make it as easy as possible as we can for our staff and our students to make the right decisions based on the sound medical advice that they receive to be vaccinated. But it's certainly not something that we would mandate as our other partners have.
Would you expect any pushback from vaccinated students who complain that they don't want to work with unvaccinated students?
Well, we haven't had that yet. And that's an interesting question that I haven't really thought about. But, I mean, it's happening. It could happen in the community, I guess. So given that we are part of the community, it's probably quite likely that it could happen. But we haven't seen it yet on our campuses. And, in fact, our students have been very responsible. And, you know, as the profile and the eligibility is opened up for our younger students, we've certainly seen students, you know, roll up their sleeves and be happy to be vaccinated.
But as we wrap this up, you personally must be quite proud of the role that the GO8 is playing in a pivotal time during this pandemic.
Absolutely. I mean, we're a national asset, and, you know, this is my point that I make. You know, we're an absolute investment, not a cost to the community. We are giving back every single day, whether it's through our research or whether it's through the students that we graduate, or in this case, developing, as you've quite rightly put, potentially a surge workforce to assist in a very practical way in terms of the vaccination rollout.
Great to see it happening.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks for your company today. If you'd like more information about the issues raised in this podcast or other related topics, please visit our website at go8.edu.au. And a quick reminder that you can always tune in to the debate at GO8 on Spotify, Google, Apple, or YouTube. Bye for now.